Some people say that Europe is in its last days. Could this be true? Is Europe destined to be nothing more than a dusty old museum with its glory days in the past? What does Bible prophecy say about this question? The answer may surprise you in ways never imagined. Stay tuned to Beyond Today as we discuss a European view of prophecy.
Host Darris McNeely and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Why should we pay so much attention to what happens in Europe? What relevance is European politics and culture to your life and mine? These are questions we often receive, and they are fair questions. So much of the world today is focused on the rise of China and India as economic powerhouses in the 21st century. It is true, these nations are coming on strong and making a difference in the global economy. They cannot be ignored. But what about Europe and its role in today's world? Should we be watching what is taking place in this region, which represents the largest trading bloc of nations and the only currency that could rival or replace the American dollar? And what does the Bible say about Europe, if anything? With me to discuss a European view of prophecy is Melvin Rhodes. Melvin is a frequent guest on our program. He's a writer for our publication, the Good News Magazine, World News and Prophecy, and he's also happens to be a native of Great Britain. Welcome, Melvin, to today's program.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Melvin, in past programs on Beyond Today, we've covered Europe from a number of different perspectives. It's not a new subject to our listeners and to this program. And in preparing for this program today, we decided to take a European view of the subject and focus specifically on those aspects of the Bible and prophecy that deal with the subject. But Europe does occupy a very interesting role and place in the news today, and there seem to be divergent opinions by people that as to what lies ahead for Europe. I've been looking at two books over recent weeks. One is entitled The Last Days of Europe, an Epitaph for an Old Continent, which basically takes the approach that Europe's glory days are in the past. On the other hand, the point of view in this particular book, Menace in Europe, Why the Continent's Crisis is America's Too, takes a different point of view, that there are still some latent dangers lurking underneath the scene in Europe today that we need to pay attention to in America. What's your perspective as you've studied the subject and written about it on the two perspectives of these two books?
I think both books are very good and very interesting to read, and I think there is some truth to both arguments. Europe's glory days were very much in the past. 100 years ago, European countries dominated the planet. Five of the great European empires had colonies all over the world. So that was certainly the case 100 years ago. Europe then had two world wars, as a result of which, of course, the United States and the Soviet Union became the dominant powers. But that doesn't mean that Europe should be written off, because gradually over the last 50 years, the European countries have been coming together to form the European Union. The European Union has lots of problems and lots of challenges, but as Claire Belinsky says in her book, Europe in coming together is going to achieve something, and it's certainly going to lead to other things. Now they still have that final hurdle to get over, which is to create a full political union, which is what they're striving to do now. And then after that, one would expect that the military union would come.
Why should a student of the Bible be interested in Europe today?
Because the Bible shows that Europe is going to play a major role for a short period of time after the United States period of preeminence comes to an end. At the present time, America dominates the world and has done since World War II, but the Bible shows us that there's going to be a revival of the old Roman Empire immediately prior to the return of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to see this new superpower coming to existence, and that superpower is going to come from out of Europe.
So the problems that we see today with America's power extended as it is around the world, particularly in the Middle East and Afghanistan and Iran, and its role as a world superpower, you're saying that is something that is to decline, and Europe is going to come in and somehow take over or fill in a vacuum created by that?
Yes, we don't know all the details, but what we do know is that a number of European countries will come together to form a political military union in that last few years before Christ's return. We also know, I mean, even right now, one of the motivations for trying to create a united Europe is that many people in Europe see Europe as a counterweight to America. Many people are unhappy with the way that the United States is, and in particular with the current administration. But having said that, they want to create something different. Some Europeans have talked about a third way, different from the United States, but different from the way that the communists were, a third way of doing things.
So we're seeing this geopolitical struggle, that is the relevance then, that brings it down to being something very important for our audience and relating it to the Bible then.
Yes.
Okay. What would we say then would be a European view of prophecy if we were to approach this from the perspective of a person on the street in Brussels or in Paris, people who are perhaps searching for certain answers? What would we direct them to establish this European view of prophecy?
Well, I think that there is a problem right there, because Europe is very secular, much more secular than the United States is, particularly Western Europe. So most people in Europe really are not familiar with the Bible. In fact, most people in Europe have a tradition religiously of having no interest in the scriptures whatsoever, because the churches that they've been a part of were not really following the Bible or using the Bible. So it'd be very difficult, I think, to get the average person in Europe to think about these things at this time. But having said that, religion is making a comeback in Europe because you have a significant percentage of immigrants who are from Muslim countries, and of course they have children as well who have been born in Europe, and they are turning increasingly to fundamentalist forms of Islam, radical Islam. And so there is an increased interest in religion at this time. And I think we could see a revival even in the other religions as well. Roman Catholicism on the mainland of Europe, for example. The Bible shows that these two religious systems are, heading towards some sort of a conflict. In fact, throughout history in Europe, you see that there has been this repeated conflict between Islam and Roman Catholicism. And the Bible shows that you're going to have a conflict again between Europe and various nations in the Middle East.
You know, in some of the reading that I do and observations that I've had of what is taking place in Europe, you mentioned that it is secular. That's true. And yet other religions, many American religions, Protestant religions, are making certain inroads in various countries like France and gaining a following, which indicates that there is this layer of interest in religion that's still under the surface that at some point in the future may yet be triggered and come to the fore.
I think that's true. It's still a minority, though. The number of people who attend religious services every week is very low compared to the United States.
Well, we'll get into this a little bit deeper as we come into some of the prophecies from the Bible that talk about Europe. When we come back, we're going to deal with the question of whether or not the prophet Daniel was able to see into the future on this important topic. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
What is the meaning of the book of Revelation? Its mysterious images, its beasts, its catastrophes, its demonic traps of deception. Find out by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of the Book of Revelation Unveiled. Find out where history, global politics, and global religion in control of the world system are leading us all. See how world events are exactly described in the story flow of the Book of Revelation in your Bible. Decode the images of the beast as the scrolls of Revelation open before your eyes. Understand how even Christianity will dissolve as the world system explodes in religious-inspired violence. Understand all this by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv. Get the Book of Revelation unveiled.
And we are back to Beyond Today. We are discussing today a European view of prophecy. You just saw on this message a message about the Book of Revelation Unveiled, which is a very important booklet that we normally offer on this program in subjects of prophecy that we discuss. This will take you through the Book of Revelation, one of the most important books in the Bible when it comes to prophecy of our time and that which is just ahead of us. It will take you through in a great deal of detail and help you to bring out those events that are mentioned in the Book of Revelation in a way that will to relate them to what is taking place today. It's free of charge, the Book of Revelation Unveiled on our website. Is it possible that the prophet Daniel saw into the future, into our time, and foresaw key events that would impact Europe in the time of the end? Many look at Daniel's prophecies as something written years after they claim to have been written, but a careful study of those scriptures show that they are far-reaching in their scope and in their timeliness. What about that question, Melvin? Did Daniel see into the future from his time in history?
Well, Daniel had a lot of things revealed to him. He lived in the 6th century B.C., and he had revealed to him knowledge and understanding of the course of history throughout the next 2,500 years. In fact, the visions which he had go right down to the establishment of the kingdom of God when Jesus Christ returns. So it covers a period of over 2,500 years.
And they were written during the time that he said that he lived, during the time of the Babylonian period.
During the time of the Babylonian captivity. And the next empire that was to follow was Persia, and then after that, Greece. And then the fourth empire was the Roman Empire. And the fourth empire was described as being very strong, very militaristic, and very aggressive. And that empire was to exist right down until Christ returned.
So where would you turn in the book of Daniel, which is one of the Old Testament books, to begin sketching the story of Europe in our time to make it relevant to our world today?
Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7 are the two chapters to look at that cover this period of history.
Okay, what exactly do they bring out in terms of the teaching that is relevant and important for Europe then?
What is relevant to Europe? The Roman Empire was the fourth of these great empires. Rome, as we know, is right in the middle of Europe, on the southern end of Europe. And the Roman Empire was to dominate for a long period of time. The Roman Empire, we know historically, came to an end towards the end of the 5th century AD. But then there have been attempts throughout history to revive the Roman Empire, which is exactly what was said in the book of Daniel. It says that there would be a number of resurrections of the Roman Empire that would take us right down to Christ's return. It also shows that there would be a relationship between the physical empire and also the religious aspect of the empire. So we see that mentioned as well. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, for example, it mentions a little horn that has eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words.
Now, that little horn comes up at a certain point in the flow of the story that Daniel brings out regarding these empires you mentioned.
It comes up after the fall of the first empire. Very, very quickly you have these little tribes that take over Rome, three of them, and they don't last very long. And then suddenly
and then
we
the
see...
The period of time we're talking about is that of Rome.
It's that of Rome,
okay.
Right. And then in the 500s and the 6th century, you see the church emerge as being very, very powerful.
So what exactly is this little horn then? Let's define that clearly.
The little horn is the papacy. It is the church which has dominated Europe for 2,000 years. There's no institution in Europe which is as old as the church is. And the church goes back even further than that. In fact, at the beginning of the 4th century, the Emperor Constantine was the first emperor of Rome to convert to Roman Catholicism. And he wanted to use the religion to unite the Roman Empire. So here we see the religious force and also the political force coming together. And that has been a constant theme in European history throughout the last almost 2,000 years now.
We probably should clarify that what Constantine converted to was really what was called Christianity at the time.
Right.
Catholicism probably is something developed later on in the form that we know it today. But his particular stance and what he did was extremely important to the story, wasn't it?
Yes, it was extremely important. I mean, he wanted to use the church to try to create a united empire because the empire was divided at that time. In fact, there was a civil war at that time. So, you know, he himself did not really understand a great deal of about the religion. In fact, I don't think he'd ever read the Bible. But he was influenced by the church to a great extent.
So this little horn that comes up in Daniel 7 that comes up at that point has a great mouth speaking great things then. We really begin that story with the time of Constantine in the 4th century and
yeah.
His conversion to Christianity and what he did. Constantine's also connected with Europe, isn't he, in terms of he was a Roman emperor, but he was actually stationed or based in Europe.
Yes, in fact, it's interesting because Constantine became emperor when he was in the English city of York. In 306, he was proclaimed emperor. It's even interesting there. If you go to York Minster in the city of York, which is the great cathedral there, you can actually go down into the foundations. And when you go into the foundations, you can stand on the very spot where Constantine was proclaimed emperor. And, you know, what is interesting is that that was the Roman military headquarters. The church was built on top of this, because as the Roman Empire fell apart later on in the next century, so the church simply took over. The church became, as the Bible describes it, the image of the beast. The beast was the Roman Empire. But then also Constantine had a northern capital in Trier, right there in Germany. Mm-hmm. And of course, later on, he founded Constantinople in the east. Plus, of course, there was the capital of Rome in the south. So he was really a true European.
So the actual picture of the church in York that was built on the foundation of the Roman fort that was there in the city is really a perfect picture for us to help to understand this takeover or this subsequent development of the church on the ruins of the Roman Empire that is right there for everyone to see.
Yeah, the church really continued the Roman Empire in many respects. Even the language continued. The language of the empire was Latin. The language of the church was Latin as well. And, you know, the church is described in Revelation 13 and verse 15 as the image of the beast, because it really continued many of the traditions, the hierarchical structure of government, for example, that went back to the Roman Empire.
That's something really, it's where people fail to make the connection in history and what they're seeing today when they go to these places and the reality when it comes to Bible prophecy. You know, Europe today is largely secular. We talked about that earlier, and religion does not play a large role in public life, but will this change?
I think so.
Future?
I think people need to realize that this period now is really an aberration in history, because religion has played a major role in Europe and did continue to play a major role right up until the early part of the last century, the 20th century. In fact, really what turned most people in Europe against religion was World War I and World War II.
The carnage of that period.
The carnage of that period led a lot of people to conclude, you know, there can't be a God, which, you know, is not really logical, but that's the way a lot of people thought. So religion played a major role before that, and I believe religion will play a major role in Europe again.
Well, we'll go deeper into this as we come back after the break to discuss this more in the Bible and get that deeper view of European view of prophecy. The book that we are offering today is the book of Revelation Unveiled. This will take you through a detailed study of the book of Revelation, which is always a perennially fascinating book of the Bible for everyone to study. Very few have really truly understood what that book is talking about. Our booklet will help take you through that in a way that you've never understood it before. Stay tuned for this message, and we'll be right back.
What is the meaning of the mysterious images in the book of Revelation? Of beasts, of catastrophes, and demonic traps of deception? As the scrolls in Revelation open, you can understand how even today's Christianity will dissolve in global religious violence. Discover this and more by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of The Book of Revelation Unveiled. While the news about the Middle East seems to get worse, you can get understanding of where it's going in your free subscription to the Good News magazine. See why Jerusalem will remain at the center of the news in articles that regularly keep you up to date in the direction of our world. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632, or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription to the Good News magazine.
And we are back to Beyond Today, our topic, A European View of Prophecy. You just saw a message for our booklet offering on this program, which is the Book of Revelation Unveiled. Probably more than any other piece of literature, we have taken the time to go through the Book of Revelation and lay it out in a way that is very easy to understand. And after you go through this booklet, along with your Bible, you will have a better understanding of the Book of Revelation than just about anything we can put before you. And that book of the Bible is going to come alive. Now, once you order that booklet, you're also going to receive a free one-year subscription to the Good News magazine. This current issue discusses a topic that's very important. Does God exist? We also cover many other topics regarding prophecy, current news and events, matters of Bible teaching, Christian living, principles and instruction for families and marriages as well. The Good News is our flagship publication. You'll get a free subscription to that. And again, there is no cost to that. You know, but Melvin, we've been talking here about this program, and let's be honest about Europe today. It's not quite ready for prime time. Europe today does not have a significant standing army, and they could not project power into the Middle East on the scale that Bible prophecy shows. There's still a divided group of nations trying to forge a unity that seems forever elusive. I wonder what, if anything, could ever turn this around and open a situation for Europe to once again play a very significant role on the world scene.
Well, I think the Bible does give us an idea of that, because in Daniel chapter 11, it talks about the king of the north and the king of the south. We know that the European nations, as they come together, are the king of the north. The king of the south is a group of nations in the Middle East. And it does say that the king of the south will push against him. You know, that could mean terrorism. It could mean cutting off the oil, for example. And Europe is more dependent on Middle Eastern oil than the United States is. So it could mean one of those two things. Also, of course, you've got that very significant Islamic presence in Europe itself. Plus, you have the fact that Europe is much closer to the Middle East and is much more likely to be affected by what happens there than we are in the United States. Add to that the fact that the Iranians, for example, are developing nuclear weapons, which will be able to reach European countries rather than reaching the United States. Any of these things could be the catalyst, or a number of them could be the catalyst that would bring the Europeans together.
All right, let's go back for a minute. You mentioned Daniel 11, verse 40, that talks about these two powers, the king of the north and the king of the south. You identify the king of the, both of them as the north being that of coming out of Europe, and the king of the south out of the general region of the Middle East. I think we probably should help our audience to understand that when Daniel describes that king of the north at that point in the whole story flow of the prophecies of Daniel, that that's really talking about a revival of this ancient Roman system that we were discussing in the second segment, that Daniel's other prophecies show we're going to revive from the time of the fall of Rome down through history until our day today, and that what we read there in Daniel 11:40 is really reading something that is ahead of us today in the news and in the world events. And that's the relevance, really, of this whole topic, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It hasn't happened yet. But we know from Bible prophecy, not just Daniel 11, but other chapters as well, and also the book of Revelation, that there is going to be a revival of the Roman Empire in those last few years before Jesus Christ returns. We've had a number of revivals of the Roman Empire throughout history. And in fact, in the last century, we've even had two. The Third Reich was a revival of the Roman Empire. The Third Reich was the Third Reich of the German nation. The First Reich
during the time of Hitler and Mussolini in that period.
That's right. The First Reich lasted almost 1,000 years. That was the Reich that goes right back to Charlemagne in the year 800. And the Second Reich then was the Kaisers. The Third Reich was Hitler. And then after that, in 1957, the Europeans founded the European Community, which became the European Union. That was started by the Treaty of Rome. So constantly they go back to Rome for their inspiration to bring about the unification of Europe. The difference between this attempt now in Europe to unite the continent and previous attempts is that in the past, it was usually led by invasion, by conquest. One man like Hitler or Napoleon or Charlemagne.
Right.
This time, the nations are voluntarily coming together to recreate the Roman Empire.
And it all started out as an economic union.
Yes.
We mentioned, again, going back to this push from the king of the south to the north and your explanation there and the possible scenarios that could play out. Is there any chance that religion would play a role in that?
I think religion is going to be a big factor because, again, you've got this major problem which is rising of radical Islam. So that's a major religious contribution to this problem here. And that is threatening Europe in a number of different ways. But I think also we see from the Bible that there's going to be a revival of religion in Europe itself as well.
And that type of religion is going to be, it's not going to be Islam.
No, it's not going to be Islam. In fact, again, you need to look at Europe's history. Europe's history has been Christianity.
Right.
And predominantly it has been Catholicism. And when you look at the conflict with Islam, which has arisen a number of occasions throughout European history, it is the Catholic Church which has led the nations of Europe in the struggle against Islam. And I think we're going to see the same thing again. Now,
what could a religious leader do to revive this interest in religion or command the attention of leadership and the masses on the European continent?
I think a religious leader could wake up the Europeans because the Europeans are really asleep. They've relied for the last 60 years on American protection. Certainly in the Western countries of Europe, that has been the case. And most Europeans today consider religion is not very important. It's dead. So they really do not see clearly the threat from radical Islam. And the church, I think, the ancient church that goes back to the very foundation of Europe, could wake them up. In fact, that's already happened to a certain extent, because the Pope in 2006, in September of that year,
he talked about Islam and created quite a furor.
Exactly. But he brought it out into the open, which accomplished something right there.
But what could he do in the future that would really grab the attention instantaneously?
I suppose he could call for Europe to start some sort of a crusade. I mean, they had a crusade. They had the Crusades almost 1,000 years ago. That was started by Pope Urban II in 1095. He could do something similar. The Bible also shows that a great religious leader is going to come up in Europe who performs miracles. In fact, Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 24, the Olivet Prophecy, warns his true followers not to be deceived by these miracles, these signs and wonders from heaven. And obviously, if miracles are being performed, a lot of people are going to respond to that and start following the religious leader.
Where's this ultimately going to lead in just a few seconds here?
Well, again, you go back to the book of Daniel, you see where it's going to lead. Daniel, remember, prophesied about four empires.
Right.
The Roman Empire was the fourth. There's also a fifth. The fifth of the empires, the fifth kingdom, if you like, which is described in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7, is the kingdom of God. All of this is leading ultimately to the second coming of Jesus Christ, the establishment of the kingdom of God. When the kingdom of God is established, there'll be no separation of church and state, which is exactly what a lot of Europeans have experienced in the past 2,000 years. But this time, it will be a perfect government, not the type of governments they've had in the past.
And I think, Melvin, that's probably where we should leave it, and that probably will sum up a perfect European view of prophecy. The future fifth kingdom that we're talking about.
Yes.
It's a fascinating subject, very important to you and to the future. When we come back, we'll have a final comment. Stay with us.
What is the meaning of the mysterious images in the book of Revelation? Of beasts, of catastrophes, and demonic traps of deception? As the scrolls in Revelation open, you can understand how even today's Christianity will dissolve in global religious violence. Discover this and more by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of The Book of Revelation Unveiled.
Bible prophecy shows a coming superpower from the historic region of the Roman Empire. World leaders and observers cannot see this coming event because they are looking in the wrong place. They are not looking to God's Word, the Bible, for true advance warning of the nature of this power. It will astound the world when it is revealed. You can know what to look for and how to avoid the terrible punishment God will bring. Your Bible, a book you probably own but have not read, gives you all the details. Read about it now in advance and learn what the future holds. Melvin, thanks for being with us on this program.
You're done.
Remember, when you're looking to understand your future, this is the program Beyond Today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.